Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
I'm joined now by two people who have turned into their parents. And I say that as someone who has also turned into his parents. And we're going to talk about the latest developments in teenage discos. Irish independent columnist Mary McCarthy and broadcaster Keith Walsh, both the parents of teenagers. You're both very welcome.
Thank you. I wish I was. I have a 21-year-old now.
Wow, okay, so you're through it. And you're such a young man, Keith.
I'm so young, you know. I started too young, you know. But
you have your freedom out the other side.
Exactly. Second teenage years now, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going back to discos. I don't get in.
Okay. Now, Mary, before we start clutching our pearls about the current state of things, we will acknowledge that we were young too. There were teenage discos. You used to go to the legendary Wes, I believe, yeah?
I did. I went to Old Wesley and... it's very, very, very different to what it's like today for the teenage.
Wes was kind of much storied in its day as being very racy.
It was. And when you compare it to today, I mean, it was very, very innocent. So, I mean, some things have stayed the same. Like the girls now are wearing kind of swimsuits. I mean, they're wearing these tiny dresses. And that's a big change because we were dressed in kind of Levi's and flares. And so that's one change. And then another change is that it's just so fancy now. Like they have a special DJ.
Fancy.
Well, yeah, okay. I do. I'm showing my
age. I like it though. Fancy. We don't use the word fancy enough these days. Yeah. You're right. Everything has gone
so
quite fancy.
But some things are the same. Like you go for the snog, you know, you want to get the snog. But we would have got
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Now, we won't start. I feel before we start the judging, we should just give it 5 minutes first of
marinade.
Our own mea culpa, right?
Yeah. Good. Are they still called discos? That's what I want to know.
They are called discos. They're teenage discos.
Teenage day club or nightclub or no.
I mean, they're kind of like mini indoor festivals, but they are called discos, and they're all over the country, Brendan. I couldn't believe it. I just thought it was like a South Dublin thing, but they're everywhere and equally as flashy, you know.
Yeah, they'll come down.
Was it the local GA or rugby club down in the provinces in your day?
I was in Athlone for my teenage and disco years, and the Paddock, I remember. I think we called it the Paddocks, but it was a hotel in Athlone, and they did a teenage disco on a Sunday at 3 o'clock for 3 hours. Wow. So it'd be 3 to 6.
Yeah.
Obviously, you go in and it was dark and the light, like, so it was like nighttime inside. And, you know, it was the first
no expense spared with the atmosphere there. Turn off the lights.
First time experience coming out of a dark room, bleary eyed, you know, kind of like into the light. But it was a daytime disco. I do remember telling my dad that I wanted to go, and I can remember him looking at me going, "I don't think you'd like discos." But he was wrong. I loved teenage discos. And just thinking back on it, what I loved about it was the variety of, for me, like 1 minute you'd be dancing to Erasure or Bronski Beat, and the next minute you'd be in a circle with a load of lads headbanging to, you know,
so
to
true,
Ram
yeah.
Jam or like AC/DC, whole lot of Rosie. So it was like there was something for everyone.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just like I was involved in everything. You know?
Were you quite the dancer?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved dancing. The head, like when I look back now, since I stopped drinking, if I go to a wedding now, I don't know how to dance, you know. But back then, it was all about the dancing for me, and it was about what you wore and how you danced.
Were you quite the dandy back then?
Yeah, I would get things specially for, you know, discos. I remember I was the first person in the Midlands to have a pair of Chelsea boots, suede Chelsea boots at the age of 13,
very
14.
60s,
I mean, I got a lot of weird comments, you know, that sort of went over my head. I didn't really know what they were, you know, that they were at me. I was in my own little bubble. But yeah, I would have borrowed clothes from my sisters because of, you know, Adamant, Duran Duran, that kind of thing. And I was straddling this, like...
Excellent.
I was straddling a mod... New romantic sort of look.
Was there a big new romantic scene in Athlone?
I've no idea. I was on my own, you know. It was like massive sort of like flowery blouses and then, you know, Chelsea boots. So I really don't know what everybody else was into. I think there was a big mod thing, I think. So bomber jackets were a big thing. And you'd always get like a mod section. So you'd get the Jam and all those. And then you'd get the Headbangers. And then you'd get the, you know, Tiffany, I think we're alone now. And I'd sort of be involved in all of them.
Because Britain had to cater for all the small town tribes, didn't it? Like, and metal was always strong in the
Midlands.
Towns of Ireland.
Huge, and you'd have them in groups, but they wouldn't get involved. I just dance for everything. I won a disco dancing competition, I remember, one Sunday, and I won a bag of chips in a new chipper that had opened.
Nice.
Yeah,
sweet.
So when my mum...
You'll never forget that, will you?
Oh, when my mum ordered the chipper that weekend, I was able to hand over my handwritten note, one bag of chips, and that was free. It was a big deal.
Yeah. Mary, I'd imagine Wes, everyone was a bit more the same, were they? There wasn't that...
So I went to Wes for the first time in 1990, right?
Okay.
And... I mean, you did get goths. There was more variation. There was a little variation, but it was kind of just the Stone Roses, so that was kind of happening. So it was quite grungy.
Okay. So you were kind of rocking the Madchester look then, were you?
Yeah, exactly.
Alt, they call it now, you know. My daughter would say, oh, she's a bit alt.
But okay. Everyone's the same there, Brendan.
Emo.
Emo, I think, is still a thing, yeah?
Yeah. Listen, we're degenerating. Three old people going, what are the young people?
What I can see is that they all look the same at these discos. Like, the lads are all in white. You're not allowed to wear tracksuits, so they wear white T-shirts and black jeans, and the girls are wearing the tiny dresses from Shein, and some of them... I won't go into the clutch, the pearl clutch but they do look the same. It's quite... kind of interesting.
Yeah, but I think teenagers do all want to fit in and look the same, don't they? Was there drinking, much drinking in your...
So there was no drinking for the first couple of years. So we started drinking around 15. And then that...
Are your teenagers listening now, or have you barred them from the radio?
They are probably not listening because I didn't tell.
Okay, yeah, good idea. Okay. So you started at 15.
So I started drinking. We drank a lot and we got into... It was mayhem. We got
what
into
was your
a lot
poison?
Of trouble. So we used to take... We started off with dolly mixtures. We'd take steel booze from our parents and just lash in all these different spirits. I mean, I look... it's unbelievable what we used to drink.
Yeah.
And then we actually used to hang around outside off licenses and we'd ask adults, would they buy us like a naggin of vodka? And they would, you know. Whereas, like, I don't know now if I'm just looking at it like wishful thinking, but they do seem to drink less. Like, now there's 16, 17 year olds. Look, there is pre-debs. Sure. They definitely drink. Don't
you heard of Four Loko? Are we familiar with Four Loko?
No.
Four Loko, no.
Four Loko from America. I'm making the air quotes here, party drink. So in America, you get it in 4%, 8% and 12%, I think. The one they've chosen to sell in Ireland is 8%, right? Big with the kids. They're essentially drinking Carlsberg Special Brew, is what it is like.
Yeah.
It's a really strong tinnies,
they drink. Like, don't get me wrong, they do drink. I'm not sure they drink as stupidly as we did. I mean, literally just drinking and you're almost unconscious and... I mean, you know, so that the discos then, they kind of, I can't really remember drinking at Wes. I think we graduated on then to...
I think with the way you were drinking, you probably don't remember anything.
But this is it. Like, there were many a nights. But so we kind of graduated on those discos in the RDS then, and they had names like Ice and Awesome. So there was a lot of drinking at those.
Was Ice the DJ or the night?
So that it was called that.
Okay, yeah.
But now,
I'm sure they didn't allow drinking in those places.
No.
We didn't, I don't remember drinking at all. Like, I remember...
Really, yeah.
Yeah, I remember going to discos that were called the no-name club discos and there would be no drinking.
It
wouldn't be a big deal, but I wasn't aware of a hard drinking crowd.
Really, yeah. I know, I think there was a lot of it going on. Keith, in terms of the shifting scene then?
Yeah, the shifting was good. It was healthy. There was plenty of it. And, you know, it was interesting for, I think... Because of the 80s, there wasn't a lot of, like, you wouldn't get a lot of hugging at home, or it wasn't, you know, people weren't, we didn't grow up in tactile families. So, like, the getting the shift or the slow set was just sort of to be close to somebody and have that sort of, you know.
God, my heart is breaking for you.
they say nowadays you have to get 8 hugs a day, you know. Like, we used to get sort of one on a Sunday at the slow set. But
it'd be
a hug, one long hug. Yeah, you dance with one. You see, I think that's changed now, but in my day it was very... Yeah. I don't know, maybe it was just me and I was very naive, but you'd be, there was a lot of chivalry when you think back on it now. You wouldn't ask many people, you wouldn't shift many people. You'd dance with one person and you'd hopefully get a shift, and if they were up for it, and then, but you'd walk them home. Like, it would be like, you wouldn't just like get the shift and head off. Like, you'd feel like, you know, almost like you had to sort of do the right thing and walk them home to the other side of town.
Do we feel that's changed a bit now, Mary? Yeah.
Oh, I think it has. I was asking my dad this morning what he did. He grew up in Clontarf. So he was saying there was hops. You'd go and you'd, he said there was a lady's choice. But there's two songs where the ladies could ask the boys to dance. But you'd only dance with one girl a night. Like, you wouldn't be going around. And for me, with Wesley, I could only remember one, like, you'd snog one guy and you'd be delighted. But now they, this is now, I've just been reliably
You've
informed.
Heard.
I've heard on the grapevine. And like, part of me thinks we parents know too much. Like, we're too snoopy. We shouldn't know anything about our kids.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we do, right? And there can be, you can be meeting, that's what it's called now.
Yeah.
Like 8 or 9 guys, girls. But the girls are asking as well. But
so it's taking the romance out of it. Like,
there's no romance. It's just literally like a quick, a very, very few seconds. And then they ask their friends to video it on their phones. And I find that so odd that they, because I initially I was like, this is terrible, like this is big trouble. And then my friend who's got older kids was saying, no, it's like they ask their friends to video it, which worries me, because even today, like, I've got blasts from the past all over town from Wesley, right? Because when you grow up, when you don't move away, so like, you could be in the playground and you see some dad and you're like, I remember, you know, I remember that night, do you? And they probably don't. But now there's all
videos. There's no evidence.
It's just, I remember it and I'm hoping they don't, you know, but now there's evidence. So the kids are like, it's just surveillance culture. They're totally okay with that. They don't mind, you know.
Okay. And the meeting is kind of, would you meet my friend? There's interlocutors kind of
there's still
setting
a middleman.
Up the
meet. That hasn't changed. Still. Whereas my dad said, you wouldn't have used a middleman. You'd go up yourself and you'd ask, you know. But now there was a middleman back in my day. Was there a middleman with you, Keith?
No, not really, no. Okay. I do remember friends of mine not being sort of like as lucky and sort of working down the line, you know, of girls. You
so
know,
if so someone says across, no, they ask their friend.
Yeah, yeah. So gosh. When you and sort of like...
That's really flattering to the last one in the line.
But then you'd have...
They just looked at each other and shrugged and like...
But in fairness to the lads, they weren't necessarily picking the best ones to ask first. They were just getting to the first one and asking,
like,
and then just they just keep going. And it wouldn't necessarily be based on looks or anything. It'd just be to just get a kiss and get a shift. And if somebody else wanted to as well, it was, you know, it was all good. But I mean, it's a shift in culture now, isn't it? Like, it's totally what it means, like going out and trying and telling your friends, you know, when you're in school on Monday morning, I got 13 shifts or something, you know. That's a whole different thing that we probably just don't understand.
Well, this is kind of a shocking story. A friend of mine told me that she gave a lift home to a bunch of girls there from a disco, and a girl was
play
laughing.
Safe with this story, no.
Oh,
no,
yes,
no.
It's kind of
level.
Funny, yeah. Sort of. But some guy came up and said, look, my friend hasn't shifted anyone. Like, would you shift him? Or would you meet him? Sorry, not shift, meet. And she was like, yeah, okay, I'll meet him for a fiver, you know. So she kissed him for a few seconds. And this is kind of hilarious, you know, that. But like, my point is, like, it means nothing, you know. It means nothing now to kind of meet someone.
Okay, so is that okay then, like?
Well, I'm not saying that's widespread. I'm sure this is a one-off, but it's just, they place very little value.
But is it okay that it doesn't matter to
them? Yeah, I think it's okay. I think that we, like when my daughter came down dressed for her first disco, I had to be very careful not to put my mind onto what she was doing. So there was nothing, you know, sexual about what she was wearing. She was just wearing an outfit. And the same, I think, about the meeting or the shifting. It's just a thing. It's not, there's nothing, we're adults looking at it from a different perspective. And they're just like, it's very innocent.
It's innocent. They're very well organised, these discos. There's, you know, the security, and they're very well organised. There's no way there's drinking going on.
And like, if there's one
like
for
that.
Whatever, first years,
exactly.
It's for first
there's
years.
There's one for
only,
first years, one for second years. And then that's it, actually, in Dublin.
You don't have the brother going around with the room or putting it in between the dancers.
There's no like priest kind of supervising. No, nothing
good,
like that.
Good.
Listen, this was a very delicate conversation. By the way, just Mary, you have one coming up soon again, no, this year. Did you manage to get tickets? Because that's another thing. Like, you'd rock up to the rugby club or whatever with your fiver. Now it's like
it's
the online or something.
Brendan, I couldn't believe it. So the tickets went on sale online like a month ago. The disco is on the 28th. And we couldn't get one. Like, I was online there at 8 o'clock and they sold out. So I emailed the organisers and said, what's going on? And they told me that 2,500 people were queuing for tickets and there was only fewer than 1,000.
And how much are the tickets?
They're £30.
Wow. Yeah.
£30.
Yeah. No, I do not. Well, yeah. I can remember it being expensive. I think.
I mean, there's much better production values. Like, you know, they're unrecognisable. Teenage tickets.
They're giving value for money. Never let it be said. Listen, like, we could go on here all day, like three old ones. All right, Mary McCarthy and Keith Walsh. That I'd say that was very illuminating for a lot of people. There's a lot of awkward kitchens around the country. Now we'll take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.